Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
It's Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Wednesday morning. Thanks for joining us at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our service minimum out there taking care of us. Want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. Be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Johns.
That would be a little weird.
Wherever you are in our great state, you can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning. It's just a click away at strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. The Mississippi Beef Council wants to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner. If you're cooking out this weekend, nothing beats the sizzle of beef on the grill. If you are not cooking out this weekend, if you don't feel like making that effort, don't matter. Go get you a steak at one of our awesome steakhouses from one end of the state to the other, from South Haven to Biloxi, from Vicksburg to Meridian. Yeah, a great steak is a short drive away anytime you're in Mississippi. Beef, it's what's for dinner. Thanks to our friends, the Mississippi Beef Council. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you are looking for. Everything maroon and white, everything state script, interlocking and M over S, it's all right there for you at College Corner. Two locations in the Jackson area, Ridgeland by Fleet Feet, Flow by the Half Shell, or you can shop online at collegecornerstore.com. Restaurant Tyler is Starkville's flagship restaurant for lunch, dinner, or Sunday brunch. The best meal in town is always at Restaurant Tyler. If you're going to be eating lunch in Starkville, Restaurant Tyler is the place to go. They have the best blue plate in town. Nothing more southern than a meat and two veg for yourself on lunch. You get the best one in town at Restaurant Tyler. Great selection of meat and veggies, the best cornbread. And it's a good price, too. We're not talking, you're not breaking the bank for lunch. Nowadays, I know that's important. So, if you're around downtown Starkville around lunchtime, that's an easy choice. Park the car and head over to Restaurant Tyler. Priority One Bank, 16 locations here to serve you throughout Central Mississippi. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide and show you. Not only are they going to help you invest and manage your money, but how they're going to help you prepare for the future. Now more than ever, when you have questions about your money, you need answers. You need to talk to a banker that has a relationship with you, not just your money. Talk to the good folks at Priority One Bank. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. Wednesday means the rumblings here on Thunder and Lightning. We have got a lot of questions. I'll just go ahead and let everybody know. Today's show might have some times where I'm having to scroll. I got a lot of mentions between Levy's press conference and the Stingray thing and then the actual rumblings. I got a lot of mentions. So just be patient.
We need to set the precedent. There's like 15 questions about Levy with offensive coordinator. So
that's
getting answered one time. I'm going to say five mentions about the Texas game, maybe less.
One time.
Just one time. Yeah. We're going to address the Texas game in one question, and one time we'll talk about the offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're like the Godfather. Like, this one time, Kay, I will let you ask me about my business.
I totally get, like, this is the opportunity for the fans to ask us questions about what's going on with the team. Mm-hmm. So I totally understand that.
Right.
And I know that fans are wanting to ask our opinion on stuff, so I get that.
Mm-hmm.
I think that can all be addressed in, one or two questions, and then we can talk about, like, what's our favorite sandwich. You know, let's do that.
I like sandwiches.
Me too.
The rumblings are presented by Paul Davis Restoration. When disaster strikes, you need a name you can trust. Paul Davis Restoration is here to help you recover from water, fire, mold, and storm damage 24/7. Their expert team provides fast, professional service to restore your home or business to its original condition. But they don't stop at just restoration. They offer property improvement services to make your space better than ever. Paul Davis Restoration, because your recovery and property improvement are their priorities. Call them at 662-769-7285. Let them bring your property back to life. If you're in Starkville, if you're in the Golden Triangle, if you're in the Tupelo area, call Paul Davis Restoration. No word if Paul Davis could restore a 17-point lead in the fourth quarter, but that's a source for another day. We need them to get working on that. All right, let's just jump right in here. Our first question today From Will Disbrow wants to know, would you have paid my bail if I had killed Stingray Saturday night?
I don't have the money
Wasn't
to do
that
that.
serious? I don't think I was going to kill anybody.
No, I don't think Brian would have gotten physical.
No.
But you were angry.
I was angry. But
now,
as I said, I have issued an apology to him, and he has apologized to me as well. So
I wouldn't have done anything to Stingray. I'm on good terms with Stingray.
Yeah.
But, like, if somebody had been, like, bugging me in that situation, or somebody I didn't like,
Might have been a problem.
We might have had fisticuffs. I
might
was not in the mood to talk to
have
anybody
been.
at that
Donnybrook,
time.
if you will.
I was sitting right next to you, by the way, during the situation.
Yeah.
And
you see me look over at you in the video that's going around, like, so, yeah, it is what it is.
I didn't know what to say. I
Yeah.
really didn't. I'm one of those, like, I've had plenty of confrontations with other media members, and like, I don't really shy away from that stuff. But in that situation, I was utterly shocked that you yelled at him in the middle of your thing.
I had to do what I had to do. All
I
right.
felt like it was coming, though, because he was just kind of hovering
He was hovering.
over both of us. And I mean, we're trying to work, and I was already just like, I was ready to leap out of the press box with a swan dive and make sure. I actually text Hardy and I said, if I jump from this part of the stadium, will I just break my legs or will I just go completely splat?
I figured you were like, if I jump out of the stadium, will you sing at my funeral? That's what you should have asked him. So,
Oh, man.
John, how easy is it to get media credentials at Mississippi State? How much easier is it to compare it to other schools? I mean, for me, it's super easy. They send me a link, I click on the stuff, and I get my credentials. As far as other schools, I've never had an issue getting a credential at any school I've ever applied at. You know, I've seen games. Almost everywhere in the SEC. I applied to a credential last year from Memphis, Kansas State, a few other places here and there. I've never had an issue.
I've only been turned down for a credential once in my career anywhere. And that was the Dallas Cowboys. I applied for a credential for Dak's first start in the NFL back in 2016. And I got denied for that, which I guess is understandable. It's a completely different set of things. But
it's totally different, yeah.
The SEC is very lenient for the most part. Yeah, I know it's tough for Alabama to get home media like credentials. Like if you're just like a random blog, a lot of those people, like a lot of people that go to media days that stand up and ask questions, they can't get in the press box.
Because the seating is limited. I mean, there's no limit to the seating at media days. The other thing to remember is everybody's sort of connected, right? So if I apply for a credential, let's say a school that I don't have, like let's just say Florida. Well, man, Florida may not be the best example because Scott Strickland's there, but South Carolina. I have no connections to anybody at South Carolina. The South Carolina SID will reach out to state. They'll talk to Brandon Langlois, and they'll say, hey, this guy, Brian Haydad, do you know him? Is he a reputable guy? And Brandon will say, no, don't credential him under any circumstances. He's a terrible person. But then usually cooler heads will prevail. Yes, that's how that works. They talk to each other. They know each other. So network, basically.
Well, Ole Miss wasn't going to credential Steve at one point. Wasn't that the case?
There was. I don't know if that was. I don't know all the details behind that. I do believe that there was a time where he probably wouldn't have gotten one. My guess under the Ross Bjork administration, getting a credential for Steve would have been a task. But
I know at one point.
Year, so I don't know.
I know at one point, like Mississippi State was not just taking anybody, and like some people like Roses, they had a stink at one point. Like they didn't get credentialed. So Ole Miss credentialed them, and so State ended up credentialing these people, and now they're up there. I mean, at some point, I feel like you do have to kind of draw a line. Like, is this person actually working the game, or are they just there? And like they're just tweeting about it and leaving. Like I don't know if that's a person that needs a credential.
Yeah.
And like I'm not trying to be like big J journalist, but like if you're just coming to the game and you're just tweeting from the game and then you pack your stuff up and you leave, maybe like you're just there to get free ice cream and a hot dog. Like this might not be the place for you.
Yeah.
But if you're actually doing work, you cover the team on a daily basis, That's a person that needs a credential. But if like you're just coming to the game just so you have a free ticket inside,
yeah,
no. Like I think we're starting to blur the lines on what a media person is. Like a lot of people are just jumping into the business and, hey, I've got a podcast or I've got a show. Can I get a credential? And
right,
we need to trim the fat.
Joe Galbraith once told me, he said, I credential people if covering this team is their job.
Yeah.
So, like, if you're somebody who has, like, a podcast, but you have another job and you just do this podcast, that he would not have credentialed you. So, it just is what it is. All right. Brick Thomas, what are some of the worst heartbreaks you've experienced, real life or sports? I mean, I've been broken up with, so, I mean, you know.
Yes.
So,
I've just been in shambles over several girls in my lifetime that I look back now and I'm like, my gosh, what was I thinking?
Yeah, you did well. You did good. I got
very lucky.
Yeah.
My wife actually broke my heart.
Oh yeah?
Yeah. It took me like almost a year to get her to actually go on a date with me and start dating me. And when we started dating, she had like cold feet. Like she was like, I kind of liked being single. So she backed out for a few weeks. And I'm just like, what am I supposed to do here? So yeah, that was, girls have broken my heart before. Almost all of them were not worth it.
Yeah.
And then a ton of sports heartbreaks.
Yeah, I don't even have time. We don't have enough time for the show to get through all this.
I mean, Brick has been through most of them as well, but
yeah. Well, I mean,
the first one I ever had was 97 Egg Bowl.
That's a good one to have. Like from a pro standpoint, the no call on the pass interference with the Saints, the meaningless miracle that happened in Minnesota,
the Steelers and Patriots when we scored a touchdown and they said that he was down.
Yeah, that's a terrible.
Oh my
that's,
God,
a, that's I, an awful one. Yeah, for sure.
I almost broke the television.
Yeah, that's definitely one. Also, Halloween's on a Friday this year. Do you have a good Halloween story? I don't. I have never done much of anything on Halloween.
I don't have an actual like,
yeah,
like Halloween like night story. Like, no,
yeah.
I haven't really.
Okay, moving on then. Sorry to disappoint you there, Brick. Nat asks us, a lot has been made. Here it is. A lot has been made about the hires of Coach Rhodes and Coach McIntyre on the defensive staff. Oh no, never mind. This is a different.
This doesn't count.
Yeah, what are their duties during the weekend on game days? I mean, I assume that they are up there in the booth, and I think. So one of them's in the booth and one of them's on the sideline, I believe.
McIntyre's in the booth.
Okay.
I think Rhodes is on the sideline.
They're just an extra pair of eyes and ears. And during the week, you know, they're working wherever they work. I think Rhodes works with the corners.
Mm-hmm.
And who does McIntyre work with? Linebackers?
I think he works with the linebackers.
Okay. So yeah. So they're just,
so they work with position groups. They're helping with development. They've actually, I think they've been like on campus recruiting and stuff. They
yeah,
do some of that
for
stuff.
Sure,
and then
for sure.
during the games, they're there to help.
Mm-hmm. Also from Nat, why do we call people coach and doc and we don't do that for other professions? That's a good question, media member Robbie. Do you know why?
Well, those are titles.
Yeah,
they've earned those titles.
Yeah.
You are a coach. You are a doctor.
People call lawyers counselor.
Yeah.
So
Esquire.
Yeah. Esquire. Yeah, exactly. Ryan Reynolds.
And here's the thing about coaches. When you are a coach with me, like you're always a coach. I call people coaches that are now like in administration, like principals or, you know, I talk to Jay Hobson every single week at Starkville.
Mm-hmm.
He's always coach to me. He's the athletic director now. He's always coach.
Yeah.
There's guys that are assistant principals that are in administration now. They're always going to be coach. Like when you're a coach, when you're a doctor, even if you aren't in those fields anymore, like you're always going to be that with me.
Agreed. Where are we here? Ryan Reynolds, the actor. What is your go-to Waffle House order?
I feel like you've had this before.
I've had this question like 10 times.
So. I usually get it. Just sometimes it depends on how hungry I am.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm really hungry, I'm getting like two eggs, bacon, toast, hash browns, that kind of thing. I normally get a waffle and bacon. That's usually my go-to order at Waffle House. Waffle and bacon.
So for me,
Yeah, crack your knuckles.
we get into the zone here. For breakfast,
Here comes Bill Goldberg out of the locker room. That's a Brian coming into Waffle House,
yeah.
banging his head on the door.
Oh, that'd be so funny. Yeah, can I get somebody to hold a sparkler up for me?
Gilbert.
For breakfast, we're going pecan waffle. Order a bacon, ask for it to not be as crispy. Double order a hash brown, scattered, double chunked, and triple covered. That will cross over into our dinner order as well, though. That's how we want the hash browns. Scattered, double chunked, triple covered. And then for dinner, I always go with the pork chops, the three pork chops with the hash browns and the Texas toast. That's my go-to.
Three pork chops.
They're thin, though. We're talking about like 6 ounces of meat at best.
Healthy.
It really is. It's, pork is a lean meat. I get that.
Hash browns are super healthy, and
The
the
hash browns
toast.
aren't super healthy. No, I get that with my flavored water. It's fine. All right. Where are we here? Rob
Might as
Halford.
well have been a salad.
Instead of lettuce, I use potato.
Can I
Does this?
substitute the salad for three pork chops, hash browns, and Texas toast?
Are we counting Rob Hadaway's first question as the question?
No, because it doesn't
All right.
really address.
Rob Hadaway, why?
I ask myself that every day.
Every day, I look in the mirror and I'm just like, okay. I'm going to skip his next question. What do you think the answer is going to be with these crazy coach buyouts and long contract terms that really can't continue to exist in the NIL era? It's a good question. Eventually, it's going to have to start at a big job, like at Texas. And they're just going to have to tell a coach, no, if you want to coach here, you're not getting a buyout. We fire you, we fire you.
Yeah,
Simple as
where
that.
like where else would you go? You're not
Right.
going to go to a better job unless if you want to go to a
You
better
want this
job.
job, it's going to come with no buyout, and it'll trickle down from there, I think.
The same in NIL terms too.
Yeah.
It's going to take schools and collectives, boosters, whatever, saying, nah, we're just not going to pay this anymore. There's going to be a breaking point where it's just going to be everything's going to crash, and you're not going to pay a third string quarterback $1 million anymore. You're not going to pay an offensive tackle $1 million. Like eventually, I feel like it's going to kind of regress down to the mean a little bit, and this incredible number that we're starting to see for rosters and for coaching buyouts and things like that. It'll become a little more realistic. But right now it's just incredible. Which is like the crazier thing is, I don't know if this is 100% correct. I just saw it in, might have been Andy Staples or somebody put it out. I believe Lane Kiffin's buyout is $3 million.
Lane Kiffin, if he wants to leave, owes Ole Miss $3 million. I think if he gets fired, it's more.
Okay, but that's still on the low end.
That is on the
Like, if a
low.
school wants to come in and get him,
Yeah.
that still feels like for him,
Yeah.
it's on the low end,
Well, I
which
mean,
I'm, which
he
is
has all the
another,
leverage with Ole Miss.
yeah, that's
I mean,
another incredible job by Jimmy Sexton.
He could have been the head coach at Auburn right now. Keith Carter didn't have a whole lot of say in that matter. He had to say what he had to say to get him to sign that deal.
Yeah. Just absolutely fascinated to see what happens with him. I feel like he'll probably stay,
Me too.
but there's my wife calling, sorry. But he's going to get a lot of money.
For sure.
So, but he said he doesn't make any decisions based on money.
I read that if we're going to go down this road, that to me is a. That's not good for Ole Miss. Because
That's
what
what I told somebody yesterday. Like,
he's saying that like Ole Miss can offer me $20 million a year, but if I don't feel like I can win a national title here, I'm gonna go. I'll
yeah.
go for less if I think I can win a national title somewhere else. That's how I view that.
Yeah.
So, all right.
And you're kidding yourself if you think that Kiffin has not made decisions based on money.
There's that too.
If that's the case, then just like you love Oxford, just like why don't you take a pay cut?
Yeah, could help yourself out. Jackson Waddell, how much of State's inability to win can be attributed to simply not being good enough on the lines of scrimmage? A lot of it.
I think there's a lot to that. I don't
State's
think that
offensive
they.
Line is a problem. It's probably the reason they lost to Tennessee and Texas.
Well, both defensive lines came after State late in that game, like pinned their ears back, and State had no answer for it. The offense did not look the same in the fourth quarter and overtime of those two games. So, yeah, I think the offensive line has definitely held them back a little bit. And I think the defensive line, I mean, how many defensive linemen for State this year have just dominated the line of scrimmage, gotten in the backfield? It's just not happening. It's way better than it was last year.
Yeah.
But you don't notice a lot of these defensive linemen for a reason. You know, a lot of the plays are being made by linebackers and into the next level. So I think that, yeah, I do think that they're being held back a little bit by what they've got up front on both sides. They got to get better on both sides.
Also from Jackson Waddell, do you have a go-to comfort
you
food
live?
after a loss? What? Oh, you froze up. Where did he go? There he is. Okay.
I just saw you staring into a void and was like, okay.
All around me are familiar faces. Anyway, I'm here. What's your go-to comfort food after a loss? Sweets.
Yeah.
If I come home after, if I could get like a
big almost
ice
always,
cream or something.
Yeah. I almost always eat sweets after a game anyways.
Yeah. And then where does Gillette's game rank as far as unappreciated performances? Played really well. I mean, that's another guy who I thought could have been in contention for SEC Defensive Player of the Week had the game gone the other way. Especially the good story
Yeah,
of him getting it against his old team.
And did it with one of your more dynamic linebackers out of the game for the first half. He really stepped up. He's been a guy that's emerged. Like him and I feel like DJ Reed have put to bed that idea that like if you didn't have success at your previous school, like you're not going to have success here. Like even after a couple of years, like I can see Mississippi State identifying players like that and giving them an opportunity here and them living up to their potential. So that's been good to see from him, and he could be a huge asset for Mississippi State next year.
Agreed. Carson Lyon asks, longtime listener, first time Rumbler, what meat product would you suggest smoking around, say, 3 p.m. on Saturday that would keep you distracted? If you could add two sides, what would those be? So you're wanting to not watch the game because, like, I'm going to make mine so that it's ready when it's time to watch the game. So we've got it to eat then. You want to start at 3 and you want it ready for, like, dinner. So you got 2 hours. I would just do some That's the problem. You're talking about smoking something. You got to start earlier in the day on a big piece of meat. But, you know, a smaller piece isn't going to take the whole time the game is on either. Like, what takes 3 hours to smoke? Maybe if you did, like, a whole
could
chicken.
He do just could he, like, start early and do a brisket and then just sit out
Right,
there?
So, yeah, you start early and get a pork butt or a brisket going. Yeah, for sure.
Do a Boston butt.
Yeah. And then he says, if the answer is tri-tip, would you go chimichurri or no chimichurri? I will go chimichurri, and I'm going to make a chimichurri for us on Saturday.
Yummy.
You're going to enjoy it.
I will enjoy it.
That's right. Sean Brown, I saw
maybe you should cook it a little earlier and we enjoy the food before the game instead of being sick at our stomach while eating.
What time do you want to come over?
Well, I got the scrimmage on Saturday at
When
noon.
that's over?
Well, yes, it'll be after.
I'll have it ready. We'll figure it out. We'll get all that going. Tell Logan come by when he gets done.
I will.
Sean Brown, I saw a clip of Slash talking about auditioning for Poison before GNR. How different would these two bands be if Slash had joined Poison over CC DeVille and not Guns N' Roses? Can you imagine Slash, like, with the makeup and everything, looking like a woman? The way CC DeVille is?
I could see Slash playing like nothing but a
Oh,
good time.
absolutely. I could see it. The music side of it's not the issue. I'm just trying to picture Slash like dressed like a glam rocker.
Yeah, this was the correct call to go to Guns N' Roses. They were kind of the bad boys. He had the
Yeah.
chains and
Yeah.
the ripped jeans. Like, that was probably the right call there.
Agreed.
How did CeCe DeVille win that over Slash? Or did Slash
You know
just
that
choose not?
CeCe DeVille is like a classically trained musician?
I didn't know that.
I think he went to Juilliard.
Really?
Like, you know, Itzhak Perlman is the famous violinist.
No.
He's one of the world's famous violin players of all time. That was his teacher.
Really?
I got to make sure about this. I heard an
CeCe
interview.
DeVille plays the violin?
I don't know. No, he's a music teacher, and so
Oh,
he
okay.
taught him. So let me just, I just want to be sure about this. CeCe DeVille. No, I'm sorry. He just went to NYU. But
Yeah, still reputable.
yeah. So
Wow.
his real name, Bruce Anthony Johansson.
CeCe DeVille was a lot better, I guess.
Yeah, CeCe DeVille is a much cooler name. I agree with that. Matthew Watkins, am I crazy for having hope for Lebby's tenure? We've seen this before with teams who come out on the wrong side of one score games often and then figuring out how to win the next year. The Lions with Dan Campbell started that way. I feel like if he brought in a play caller, this team would be off to the races. There's no reason not to have some hope. This team is a lot better than it was a year ago. If they take, here's, I thought about this morning. Think about how big a step State has taken from year one of year then to year two of Lebby, right? Okay. And we say that this is, we talk about year zero. And I'm not a big year zero guy, but I see where you're coming from, right? If State takes as big a step next year as they have this year, they're going to be in the playoff discussion. So, I mean, there's reasons to be hopeful. There's no reason to think it's over because they've lost some close games.
Well, I think, like, one thing to put it in perspective, and I think the big thing is people see they're shooting themselves in the foot. They're not just getting beat by a team that's just better than them. But this is it's playing out very similarly to how we thought it could. And I guess it makes us kind of hypocritical a little bit too, but like you predicted 4 wins, I predicted 5 wins. I said before the season, I think this could be like the real year one for Jeff Lebby,
Right.
and that they're competitive and everybody's talking about how tough they are. And man, you'd better get them now because they're going to come back. They're doing all those things that we said, but it's like whenever you actually see it, your mind changes. So, like, I get both sides of it. I get the outrage from people seeing it and how frustrating it is, but at the same time, they're right on path of what we predicted preseason. And I'm not saying that you should accept it. They should have won those ball games. They should have done those things, but they're almost doing exactly what we predicted them to do. We even said we could see them starting 4-0 and then losing their next 8 games. So
So,
it's not really that different from what we said, but I still think that you need to get to 6 at this point. Like, you've shown enough at this point. You've got to find a way to get these 2 games. Just win 2 out of 4. And if you win 2 out of 4 here, and even if you're 2-6 in the SEC,
everybody's happy.
everybody's on board, especially if one of those is Ole Miss. I'm not predicting it to happen. I'm just saying, like, if that's how this plays out, you should be thrilled. Even if you missed those opportunities, it would have meant that in the back half of the schedule, you figured some things out, you found a way to win, and you are moving in the right direction. You have 4 more wins than you did a year ago. You have players, and you have a little more faith in your coaches to develop. You have players that are better than what you had. I think that you should have some hope. I don't like. I know that he hasn't won these games, but if you're objectively looking at it like people outside this program have, you cannot deny the fact that players have gotten better, the coaching's gotten better regardless of how they finish the games, and it's just an all-around much better program than it was a year ago. It's a lot healthier. They just have to win. Like, people are not going to accept this long term. But I think objectively, there should be hope that this thing is on the right track. It's moving in the right direction. And I hope it is. I really hope that Jeff Lebby figures it out. They need it.
So real quick, it's got me looking at Mullen's first year. Nine games in, Mullen, or sorry, eight games in, Mullen was 3-5. He had beaten Jackson State, a Vanderbilt team that finished 2-10, and Middle
Vandy
Tennessee
team.
State. Now, obviously, Houston and Georgia Tech in the non-conference were tough, but Arizona State's a good non-conference game, and State won that this year.
The only marquee win that Dan really had that year was
the Egg Bowl.
Was Ole Miss.
Right.
He went on the road and beat Kentucky and Vandy.
And that game is kind of similar to what's about to happen this weekend, right? That team was 3-5, but then they beat Kentucky, and you're like, oh, okay, maybe they could do something here. Similar situation here with Arkansas. So just pointing that out, that Mullen at this point in the season, yeah, they looked a ton better than they did the year prior, but that's the same thing here. The only difference is Mullen wasn't the head coach the year prior. So
it is a very similar season to 09. It is very similar.
Let's hope those similarities play out all the way to the very end, my friend.
But this time around, they go to a bowl game.
Yeah, I'll take that too. All right, where are we here? Clark County Dog. It's a really long question. I was recently talking with my dad, and we began remembering some of the hilarious things myself and my younger sister said growing up that we had no idea what we were saying. My dad brought up the time we got chickens in the backyard. And when I asked what we should name one of them, my then six-year-old sister said, Peckerface.
Oh, boy.
With zero hesitation, as you might imagine, we doubled over with laughter. What are some of the hilarious things you or your kids have said without realizing what it meant? I once asked my mother, Stoneface, what a reptile dysfunction was.
I love that.
Reptile dysfunction. Well, your snake. Never mind. I don't have a really good one for me or my kids. I do. Okay, I have one. I have one for my daughter Aislinn. We were eating at old Venice back in the day, and we're sitting there having lunch. She's like four, maybe, and like a couple walks past us, and there were a couple black people, and she just as loud as she could, she's like, "They're dark like you, Daddy." It's like.
Can't say that.
Yeah, like, all right, let's just calm down there. But a friend of mine, we'll protect names to save the innocent here. We were, of all places, we were at Chili's after a game. I used to like to go to Starkville Chili's and eat after the games, right? Cheap drink.
Stereotype. Stereotype.
It's fine. Yeah, it's good. So we earlier that day at the tailgate, there had been this drunk, I think she was an LSU fan, and she just kept saying She kept saying the C word over and over again. You know what the C word is, right? So
yes.
She kept saying it. So
corn on the cob.
Yeah, kind of. And so we are just making fun of it. And we're like, she kept saying that word, you know, rhymes with bunt. And then we were like, you know, that word she kept saying rhymes with hunt. And one of our friends was there with his like 3 or 4 year old daughter, and she said it rhymes with, and then she just said the word.
Oh boy!
Good shit.
Like loud. When I was in fifth grade,
now I laughed so much harder at that moment. My head was on the table, pounding the table. Couldn't believe she said that.
When I was in fifth grade, you know, like you have to write like creative writing stuff in class and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So like I was thinking real hard about, I forget what the words were or whatever, like what we were writing about.
Right.
But I was talking about like something in the courtroom.
Mm-hmm.
And so I made a sentence out and I was talking about, you know, the prosecution. Mm-hmm. It was a great.
Oh, no.
It was a great thing. Instead, I said prostitution. So I wrote down prostitution thinking I was like spot on, like
yeah.
Talking about the prosecution. My teacher showed that to like every teacher in the school.
Oh, gosh.
Like it was getting passed around to everybody. And I knew it. I was like, what's the problem? What's going on?
Ryan,
like she even brought it up in class. Like everybody pointed and laughed at me. I'm like, that was a great sentence.
Friend of the show, Ryan Nelson. Now, we were seniors in high school. He did this on purpose. But he wrote his senior term paper on Hugh Hefner and the erection of the Playboy Empire.
Oh, my gosh.
That's the actual title. I still laugh about that every now and then.
How did that go over at the
I think he got
Catholic
an
school?
A. I think he got an A. So good job. That's an all-timer right there. Shout out to our friend Ryan Nelson. Also from Clark County Dog, rank these wrestling storylines. I'm just going to tell you, all of these storylines were crap. They're all terrible. But here we go.
But
May
also
of Mark
great.
Henry's relationship. I mean, she gave birth to a hand. I still regret that when I got to interview him that I didn't ask about the hand. Like the hand has to be like 20 now, right? How's the hand doing?
The Mark, oh, it's older than that. The Mark Henry and China relationship was fun.
Was fun, yes. Katie Vick. I mean, that is an all-time bad one there.
One of the worst ever.
It's so bad. The identity of Hornswoggle's father. Awful, but Triple H's reaction when he's laughing at McMahon in the ring is hilarious. He's about to pee himself. He's laughing so hard. It's good stuff. The anonymous Raw GM. We still don't know who it is. Still don't know.
I thought it was like Hornswoggle one time.
Was it? Okay,
I
fine.
think it was.
Waste time. Michael Cole and Jerry Lawler's 2011 storyline that concludes with them going almost 14 minutes at Mania. How does that happen?
That was bad.
And then the time Goldust confessed to having feelings for the $1 million championship. Again, just the Vince McMahon is just a pervert, and that's how these things came about.
Vince McMahon threw a million ideas against the wall, and these are the really bad ones. And then he would have one that would stick that was all-time great. But he had as many bad ones as he had good ones.
Have we answered the offensive coordinator question?
No, this will be it.
Justin Tidwell, do you think Lebby should or would even hire an offensive coordinator? If so, who is someone you'd like to see call plays? Not saying he's a bad play caller, but I feel like he should delegate those responsibilities to spend more time managing the game. We talked about this a little bit yesterday. Somebody threw a good name out on your message board, Philip Montgomery. That would be an interesting one.
I'm just going to go ahead and tell you that no, he will not have an offensive
Yeah, I don't think
coordinator.
he'll do it. Yeah, for sure.
But I think he should have like an offensive analyst. I mean, most people in the SEC have these analysts anyways, and he has them on defense. I feel like he needs somebody that's kind of a veteran guy that can just kind of be around. He doesn't seem to be very concerned about,
Yeah.
those situations. He feels like he's handled it great, but it doesn't hurt to have another piece like that in your office.
Alex Matthews, would you be happy with 5-7 if the final win was the Egg Bowl and it kept Ole Miss from the playoffs? I would be happy in the moment, but I don't think I would be overly happy about the way the season had gone. Because then you're talking about you had a 8-game or 7-game losing streak that you just snapped. I mean, you should
Yeah,
have been
but
better.
you would be thrilled.
I would be happy in that moment, though. Like that Monday show would be a lot of fun.
Well, after that, you would start talking about, okay, like I know they struggled, but they found a way to win against Ole
Yeah.
Miss. They kept them out of the playoffs. They got
Yeah.
some momentum.
Something to build on for next year. Yeah.
You would be excited, don't
I
lie.
would be. All right, here we go. We'll do one more, then we'll do the break here. Broken Fairchild, really enjoyed your interview with Hardy. What song would you want him to cover?
I was thinking about this the other day when we were talking, which, by the way, I mentioned in that interview, hey, we need some more covers. And he was like, yeah, we'll see. I've been thinking about that. We need to do something. Like 2 days later, he put out a Bad Company cover.
Okay.
What I would want is an Ozzy cover.
Okay.
I want to hear Hardy and his band take a shot, try to do some Ozzy.
So which one? What song?
Man, what would be
I sent you that country cover of No More Tears.
No More Tears is always a go-to. I watched Zakk Wylde do that the other day. Like he just has a video of him playing it. It's
I want
unbelievable.
Hardy's version of Shot in the Dark.
Yes.
All right.
Yes, please.
That's a good one.
That's
I have,
the one.
you want to know what song came, because knowing Hardy's
I don't
version,
want to change the world.
do you know what song popped into my head? I don't know why. Dirty Laundry by Don Henley.
Oh, that'd be awesome. I love that song.
I love that song. I love to hear Hardy's version of Dirty Laundry.
There we go.
There you go.
Dirty Laundry and
Like a
Shot in
little.
the Dark.
It's a little heavier version of Dirty Laundry.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like
Shot in the
that.
Dark, No More Tears, and or I Don't Want to Change the World. You know
Okay.
what? Let's make a he just did an album of Joe Diffie.
Yeah.
We need a Ozzy Hicks tape where he
Yes.
just does nothing but Ozzy covers.
I like it. I like it.
I know
Well,
he's listening to this, so I'm already putting that into motion.
there you go. When was the last time, if ever, you saw this many big coaching vacancies during the season? Never. This is the first time I've ever seen it this early. Ever. Never.
The schools that are doing this, it's insane. The brands.
Yeah, it's just going to
And
continue.
we haven't even seen the possibilities of Wisconsin, Florida State,
What about that
Auburn.
Sarkisian rumor was true? What if
I
Texas
mean,
opens up?
it could be an absolute crap show. And then the what happens whenever guys leave, I think there's going to be some bad hires made at some of these big schools.
I agree. All right, let's move into the rest of the show. That's brought to you by our friends over at Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District, and the Older Brother right next door to each other. Two fantastic restaurants, two completely different restaurants, even though they're owned by the same people. They're so different, but they're both so awesome. Two Brothers, the smoked Southern soul food, the barbecue tacos, the wings, the pork rind nachos, all so good. But then you go over to the Older Brother, and it's like a New Orleans style sandwich shop, but it's different than any place I've been to in New Orleans. Both of them are so awesome. And if you are going to be in Starkville, you pick either one. You cannot go wrong. Head to the Cotton District next time you're hungry and eat at Two Brothers Smoked Meats or the Older Brother. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. They've been doing it for 50 years.
Brother.
When you need technology for your business, give Advantage Business Systems a call. And then if you need service, guess what? Same people, same number. You don't have to worry about anything else. They're going to take care of you. A lot of times they can take care of it the same day because they're in Mississippi just like you. 601-362-9192 or visit them online, absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. Maroon & Co. is the place to go if you're looking for brand new Mississippi State gear. The holidays are coming up, guys. You've got to get some gear for the family. You got to put some stuff under the tree. Get it at Maroon & Co. The biggest and best selection of everything maroon and white, everything state script, interlocking, M over S. It's all right there for you at Maroon & Co. Use our promo code THUNDER15. Save a little extra money, 15% off regular price. Some exclusions do apply. Next time you're in Starkville, before you go to the game, make sure you go to Maroon & Co. We're running out of time to mow the grass. You know, it's cold outside. It's going to start. It's about that time. Doesn't matter, though. Doesn't matter. When you're talking about next year, you're looking ahead to that first mow of the season. Do it on a John Deere commercial mower. Get the big guns out and get them at Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden. Up to 0% finance, or I'm sorry, I should say as little as 0% financing, up to 60 months in some cases. Talk to their credit department and see what they can work out for you. If you're looking for something in John Deere green, Scruggs is the place to get it, but they have everything. They have what you want for less at Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden in Saltillo. If you are a landowner in the state of Mississippi, in Arkansas, in Louisiana, it doesn't matter if you've got 100 acres or a few thousand acres, you need to talk to the good people at Good Hope Land and Timber about helping you manage your property, manage your timber. You don't want to be that guy who, you know, oh, who owns that property with all those and it's just trees everywhere. Looks like nobody's even been out there yet. You want to have the top looking property. You want to have somebody who looks like they manage their property. You want to have people jealous of it. Hey, if you're looking to buy or sell property, Good Hope Land and Timber can make that happen for you. They're a veteran team, well trained, years of experience. They're the ones to call for any and all of your land and timber needs. Locally trusted, landowner approved, Good Hope Land and Timber. All right, let's jump back into it here with Oh, no, I'm sorry, we already did that one. Our buddy Steve Mormon. On the subject of Lebby not knowing how to win, he has two ex-head coaches on the staff. Why do you think he doesn't lean on them? I mean, we don't know that he doesn't lean on them.
Yeah, I think a lot of people just assume like Lebby's just like turning his headset off and not listening to anything anybody says. He's definitely hearing what people are saying and adjusting accordingly. And they're probably in his ear too.
He asks, should State bring in an ex-coach to consult him? Should Zach Selman be putting call to Jackie Sherrill to do just that? I think Coach Sherrill's a little too old for that one, but I mean, I don't mind the idea of where you're going, though. But there are plenty of head coaches who've coached more recently than 2003 that are out there. So that would be the way I would look. Let's see here. John Clark Packard, rank these devastating losses. Thanks, John. Definitely didn't want to move on.
Thanks for twisting the knife.
How many games? Hold on a second. One, two, three, four, five, Six.
He's including the 25 games in one.
This is like, yeah, it's like nine games here.
No, he's including the 25 games in
As one
one.
game.
Like those games up against the other four games that are on there.
No, there's nine games. Hold on.
One,
Yeah, women's
two.
basketball, LSU 09 football, football versus Bama 14 and 17, men's basketball
I think that
Kentucky.
the I think that those are grouped in together as well.
Well, there's
Just
all
rank them.
kinds. I don't
Just
know.
group them in together and rank them.
Okay. Honestly, Texas might be number one. Maybe it's just the recency
It's
bias.
recency bias.
But goodness gracious, Robbie, that was a brutal loss.
I think that, well, here's the thing. The national championship game against Notre Dame, State
Yeah.
was up by like 14, 16 points in
Yeah,
that.
no, you're not wrong.
That's number one probably for me. You're
That LSU
beating a
game
team by double digits
to win a
in the
national
national
title.
championship,
Yeah.
and you lost.
I think the LSU game, I mean, it's so bad. See, I don't consider the Bama game a devastating loss from 2014. State never led in that game. They were trailing by 20 at one point.
Yeah.
And
Well, it's just
the
the
circumstances
yeah.
sucked, but like that's not a heartbreaking loss.
17 was a heartbreaker.
Was yeah, because you had the lead for most of the game.
You were leading going into the fourth quarter.
That SEC championship game for basketball, I rarely think about it.
I think the 0-4 game
That's much
was
worse.
worse
Yeah, I agree
against
with that.
Kentucky. That 0-9 game was pretty bad too. But that play, like, that should have been a lane violation. State should have won that ball game, and they're
Yes.
SEC champions, and it cost them an NCAA tournament berth.
Yes.
So
All right.
I'm going to say the national championship game, and then I'm going to say the Texas game, and I'll loop the other ones in, like this little string of games they had, the 09 LSU game, the Bama game from 17, and then the Kentucky game in the SEC championship.
All right. Dennis Smith, what's your prediction for Lane Kiffin? Does Ole Miss retain? Oh, I guess we just talked about this, but I think that, yeah, I think he's going to end up staying at Ole Miss. That's just where I am right now.
It feels that way.
Somebody tagged us in something that Scott Van Pelt did. I guess we'll have to come back and I'll have to come back and watch
It's
that.
a video where they're basically saying like Texas is complaining about having to go on the road, and
About
they're
what? Go on the road where?
like they've been on the road back to back weeks or whatever. I
Welcome
think
to
that's
the
what they're
SEC.
saying. I think that's what they're saying. And Scott Van Pelt's basically like, you have all these resources, and you just played
They also play an
Kentucky
easy
and
schedule.
State to overtime. He's like he said in there, it's like cry me a river. Like Mississippi State was beating you by 17 points. Like stop whining, pretty much.
Right. Now we're into that part here. So here we go. Chris Williams, any thoughts on the irony of Brian Kelly getting fired during Sports Video Appreciation Week?
Ooh. I don't think people talk enough about how detestable of a guy Brian Kelly
Did
is.
you read this article that someone I saw yesterday about when Robert Saleh and Matt LaFleur and were invited to a party at his house? Have you read this?
No.
So they were like grad assistants at Central Michigan when he was there. And they thought they had gotten invited to a party at his house for Christmas. And then they show up and they were actually on the work list and they had to park cars and take coats and stuff.
When he was at Central Michigan?
Yeah. So they were on his staff as grad assistants. They thought they had been invited to a party at the head coach's house. And he was like, no, you're here to work.
Dude, he's just not a
Not
good
a good
guy.
person.
He's not a good guy. And he's revealed that time and time again. You can see him screaming at his assistants on the sideline, screaming at players. He yells at the media. He was in charge when a kid was on a scissors lift or whatever it was and was
Died.
killed, and they told him, "Do not put these up in 30-mile-an-hour winds," and he still did it. Just not a good dude, man. Like, and it's hard to feel sorry for him because he's making so much money from getting fired. Like, I don't feel sorry for the guy at all. I mean, him getting fired, he deserved it.
Let's see here. Will Simmons, on today's podcast, you said you didn't have any different SEC picks from Robbie last week, and you're still one behind. Do you count if you picked the state game correctly? We do not. We have never counted the Mississippi State game in these contests.
No.
All right. Ford Polk, Robbie, does Brian being a fan of an English soccer team make him a turncoat?
Yes. He's a communist.
First off, England is not a communist country.
Then why did we fight a war to get away from them, to get freedom?
Well, that's different. It wasn't communist. Communism hadn't even been invented yet.
They invented communism.
I disagree. The Germans invented it. Karl Marx is German.
The English Premier League is a communist
sport.
It
is not. Secondly, I cheer for American teams.
I don't make the rules.
I don't make the rules on this. I feel like you're making them as we go.
I don't. This is what it is. This is what happens. Yes, he is a turncoat. Let's put him in the Whig party. We're gonna put an actual wig.
The Whigs were American.
Yeah, but they're pretty much English.
No.
Why else are they the Whigs? You wore the wig in England.
It's spelled differently. WHIG.
Yeah, but still.
Oh, God. Okay, using my own. You dare use my own spells against me?
He's a red coat, is what he is.
Oh, I think not.
He's gonna have his tea and crumpets on Saturday morning whenever the soccer game.
I'm gonna tell Sadie
Traore,
you said all this stuff about England.
He saw the side that he needed to come to. He came to America.
He is still an English soccer fan. He likes Crystal Palace.
He's not an extremist. Like you are.
Whatever.
He's not extremist. Communist.
All right, calm down. Which do you think would make
Karl Marx over here
facing Ole Miss in a national championship series in baseball, or facing him in the football national title game? I mean, it's not even close to be football. I mean, not even close. First off, you got to remember though, like somebody's won the Egg Bowl at this point, right? So, can you imagine if you're like the team that won the Egg Bowl but lost the national title game? What the most meaningless Egg Bowl ever. No, football's not. It's not close. It's not close.
Well, it's like State beat Ole Miss in the baseball series, and then Ole Miss went and won the national championship.
Yeah, it's like, who cares? I asked if LSU should be nervous after the 23 season because they lost 7 games in 2 years, and y'all said I was crazy. I'm just messing with y'all. Don't be mean to me. Well, I remember that question. And we were like, should the fact that they've lost 7 games be a red flag? Maybe we weren't, you know, we weren't right on that. I don't remember exactly what we said, but yeah, clearly.
I don't remember saying that you're crazy, but I mean, maybe we did. I don't. But that was 2 years ago, so I don't remember stuff like that. But
me either.
People that listen to the show remember that stuff. Like, it sticks with them. It's just like if we ever get smart with them on Twitter, like, they remember that stuff, and I don't ever remember it.
Yeah.
So I don't. Credit to you, Ford, for having a steel trap mind. I don't remember that.
Yeah. Brett Christensen. Many siblings have succeeded in professional athletics together, but which siblings would you consider the best? Use any measure to define success. It's got to be the Williams sisters.
Serena and Venus Williams.
Yeah, it's got to be them.
Who else could we put in that discussion?
The Mannings. They got, what, four?
The Mannings.
Four Super Bowls between them.
Yep, the Mannings. Probably two Hall of Fame quarterbacks.
Yeah, I'm trying to think, is there a basketball or been like a brothers? They don't have, I don't know about. Like
the Gasols?
I was going to say the Millers. Reggie and Cheryl.
Yeah.
I mean, Cheryl Miller is probably the greatest women's basketball player of all time. Reggie Miller is a Hall of Famer.
Cheryl scored, like, what, 100-something points in a game?
Yeah. But
Reggie's a Hall of Famer.
It's got to be the Venus and Serena, though. It's got to be.
I think it is, but those two, the Millers are up there. I'm trying to think of somebody else. You know, the Barbers were solid in the NFL.
Barbers,
I don't think they would be.
That's not a bad one.
What about the Berries in basketball?
That's a good one, actually. It was dad and three brothers, right?
Rick Berry.
Yeah. So.
Baseball.
We're missing somebody here who's like, there have been some brothers. I know there have been some. The Boones.
Like were the Abreu's brothers?
They may have been, yeah. I don't know that
Bobby
one.
Abreu, but I don't think they were that. They were like
yeah,
that.
I'm just going to go. I feel good about the Williams. We'll just move on.
Yeah.
All right. Also from Brett, do you believe the interceptions that are obviously caused by wide receiver drops should be their own stat? Any other stat changes that you would apply if commissioner of a sport? Yes. IRCs. I'm sorry. ICRs. Interception caused by receiver should be a thing. If a receiver, if the ball hits him in the hands and he doesn't catch it and it deflects up, that should go on the receiver, not the quarterback.
Or like a just a drop. I don't know.
Well, yeah, I say
So it's
that's
like
like it hits him in the hands, but he deflects it up in the air
and
instead.
that's an interception on the receiver.
Interception caused by receiver, ICR. That should be that way you have a better idea. Because I mean, at that point, what can you do? You threw an accurate pass that the receiver hit, it hit him in the hands and he didn't catch it. What more
It's
could the
kind of like
quarterback have done?
sacks. Like in the NFL, they don't count sacks
As
against
rush
your,
yardage.
yeah.
They count them as pass yardage. That should obviously be a change we would make. That's a good one, Robbie. Tyler Ham, in light of the obvious difficulty the football team has winning, what is the most difficult part of your job most people don't see? I mean, you're pushing it to find us truly difficult. I guess the most difficult part is to try to convince people to continue to listen to this podcast when we're talking about their team losing. So that's why we try to be entertaining about it.
I mean, having to go to these like games and continue to go through the same thing, like get kicked in the groin every single week is kind of tough. For 3 straight years, that's been the case for football.
Yeah.
Like fans can just say, eh, I don't think I'm gonna go to this.
Right.
Like we have to like get out of bed, put the clown makeup on our face, get in our clown car, drive to the game, get out of the clown car, and go into the stadium with a horn and a big red nose.
Yeah,
Yeah.
that's us. Bryce Davidson, my buddies and I enjoy pain and disappointment, so we're going to Fayetteville this weekend. Any recommendations for restaurants, bars? I've only been to Fayetteville twice, and once was a long, long time ago. The only restaurant recommendation I really have is Wright's Barbecue. Really good
Yes.
restaurant there.
I have not been there, but that's what everybody
It's
says is
outstanding.
to go to.
Me and Joel ate there a few years back, and it was really good.
Yeah.
Let's see here. This is that. We're just in one of those things right here. Dalton Lee. I think I need to find a new hobby after contemplating many life choices on
Yes.
Saturday. What's a non-costly hobby that y'all do? What's a hobby that you want to do but you haven't yet? I mean, non-costly is, you buy a grill and you cook meat on it, man. It's not that expensive.
That's a great hobby.
What's something I would like to do but I never have? I don't know. Be a high-stakes gambler? I don't.
The executive game.
It's a certain kind of player. Yeah,
I know some people that
I want to
could
be hanging
help
out
you
with
out
Chauncey
there.
Billups. Yeah.
Yeah, I know some people that could help you out.
Yeah, I'm sure you do. Albanian Bruce and Matty the Wrestler? Let's see.
Lawn care, it's a good hobby.
Yeah.
Woodworking would
Whittling.
be
Yeah.
fun. That'd be fun to do on a Saturday.
I don't disagree with you. So. You go to the Bob Ross and start doing some painting. Learn to be a
Yes.
painter.
Happy little clouds.
Yeah. Rob Montgomery asks, is it possible that too many state fans have pre-sold their souls to the devil for a 2026 baseball national title, and thus our payment is this football excruciating loss hell that we're stuck in? I don't think you need to sell your soul to the devil for that one. I think we're going to be okay on that account.
I hope so because we have made a deal with someone else in the media at another school that if Mississippi State wins a national championship under Brian O'Connor, we're getting whatever meal we want. And we will be cashing
Somebody
in.
told us that that hire didn't move the needle, is what they said. Those were the words that that man used. We will reveal his name at the appropriate
And
time.
after that happened, Mississippi State has gotten 6 of 7 commitments in the 2027 class in the top 100. And two top 20 players in the 2026 class.
Oh, and the number one transfer portal class. Don't forget that.
Yeah, it is not.
We'll reveal his name when the time is right.
And like I said, I don't remember things from a couple years ago. That I will remember because food is involved.
Yes, exactly. Cameron Worm,
Big worm.
what are the top three open jobs right now, and who do you believe will fill those vacancies? The top three jobs right now are LSU, Florida, and Penn State.
Yeah, probably so.
Okay.
I was trying to think of
LSU,
who else is open.
I think Penn State's going to end up hiring Matt Rhule, which is
To me, a step down from James Franklin.
They didn't screw. Yeah, they did screw that up. Florida, I think Florida has to try to get a power five guy, power four guy. I think
Florida has to go all in. If they can't get Lane Kiffin, they have to go all in on like Eli Drinkwitz.
Yeah. So,
and if they don't get him, I would probably go get Jed Fish.
You wouldn't get James Franklin?
Well, I would consider it, but I think they would be probably more excited about Jed Fish because he is a guy that coached at Florida as an assistant. You know, he's been there. He kind of knows the place. He's had success. He's gotten Washington kind of back on track after they had fallen back. That would not be a bad fit for me. But I would first try to go get Drinkwitz. If you can't get Lane Kiffin, I would try to get Drinkwitz. And if you can't get him,
I would get, you know who I would get? Try to get. I don't know if you can get him because he's at his alma mater. Jeff Brohm.
Good coach. I think he's definitely a guy that could land a bigger job.
Yeah. And then in LSU, the next couple is that going to be Summerall? Just move him up.
No.
No?
I don't think that would make them happy at all.
He's a great coach, man.
He is, but do you think how are you going to convince LSU fans that you just hired the Tulane coach?
I'm just
that's
saying.
been.
I don't know.
Clark, I mean, do you think that's an LSU hire?
I think he'll get
you,
a.
You just. You just said LSU is the best job available.
I think
and they're hiring the Tulane coach. Please stop calling me.
Who is calling you this time?
It's my wife.
Oh.
I got my Facebook messenger.
I have her number. I will text her.
I've got it.
You got it? All right. I don't know. Maybe. We'll see. Also from Cameron Ward, what is your favorite chain sandwich restaurant? Hold on, we got to change the wording there, Cameron. What is your favorite chain restaurant sandwich? I like the chicken Philly, the Big Kahuna Philly chicken at Jersey Mike's. That's my number one choice.
The favorite chain sandwich restaurant.
Chain restaurant sandwich.
Okay. The McAllister's Club.
Okay.
Is probably my favorite.
Good choice.
And right behind it would be the sub on a club, club on a sub at Firehouse.
That's a good choice as well. Dalton Hedgepeth, can we discuss the fact that every big play that Wingo made in the game was due to Kelly Jones not covering him? Why does Hutzler refuse to let him trail wide receiver one of the opposing team? That's the way that defense is, man. It's not designed for cornerbacks to swap sides of the field, basically.
How often is a cornerback just like if a guy goes in motion, that guy moves?
If you're in man, which
in man.
Rarely is.
I mean, and that's probably – that was the probably designed by – Texas. I don't know. I mean, that's too like Texas realizes like this guy's getting a breather or something and they attack in that moment. But also like those plays by Wingo, two of them went for like a combined 100 yards on short passes and that State did not tackle well. So that's not just the cornerback.
Right.
They had opportunities to tackle him and they didn't, especially in that first possession.
I mean, we're going to do four more questions because I do have to go do a show in 20 minutes. Matt McCain.
You're fine.
Mascot Challenge, Arkansas Edition. Arkansas State.
Red Wolves.
Central Arkansas.
The Bears?
They are the Bears. University of Arkansas at Little Rock.
Trojans?
That is correct. Southern Arkansas. We've done this one before.
We've done this one, but I can't remember it.
They're the Mule Riders.
The Mule Riders. I don't know this last one either.
Yes. Okay.
Arkansas Tech.
So, Arkansas Techs, I had to look it up. Their men are the Wonder Boys, and their girls are the Golden Sons.
Okay.
There you go.
So, what's the actual mascot of the school?
A bulldog.
What?
I can't help you.
So the neither one of the mascots that they gender specific have anything to do with a bulldog.
Correct.
Okay.
All right.
They're like the fighting okra.
There you go. Pearson Lowry, what's the coolest sporting event you've ever been to?
It might be the College World Series for me.
That's a good choice. I thought
I
you
love
said
the College World
WrestleMania.
Series. That's not a sporting event.
What?
Sports entertainment.
How dare you talk about the greatest sport?
It's still real to me.
I will be skipping Justin Strawn's Dodger questions. He can go straight to hell.
Again, why is this franchise not hated more than it
I don't
is?
know.
People are talking about it like it's
I
so
hate them
great.
plenty. I hate them. Let's see here. Micah Schneider, what was the first big coach firing that led us to the chaos we now know as the coaching carousel? For this year, it's Franklin. Franklin
It
was
was
the first
Franklin.
one. Yeah.
He started the dominoes.
Brooks Taylor, I believe I know a lot of the D1 mascots in the big three sports. Would Robbie be up for a head-to-head challenge? Would you take a mascot challenge against Brooks Taylor?
Sure. What's
Okay.
what do we get in return?
I don't know the answer. And all right, let's do last one here. We'll do two more. We'll do two more. Patton Paris. At least Coach O'Connor is giving us some incredible results on recruiting trail. Doesn't it seem like this should have been the norm after they won the national championship? Yeah.
Yes, this is what Brian and I were complaining about
Couple of
for the
people were
last.
saying that.
I mean,
We
we
were
were sitting there saying Mississippi State should hold itself at a higher standard than what they're getting, and everybody's like, stop complaining, stop being so mean. This is what Mississippi State should be. You put in the resources to this program, this is what it should be.
Haunted house, haunted hayride, or haunted trail?
Ooh,
Hayride.
hayride.
Yeah, because you just keep going. Just leave it alone.
And back in the day when you did the hayride, you had the girl next to you.
Yeah.
You're under a blanket, you're nice and warm, and you're holding hands, and that she's up tight next to you. You might get a kiss.
Oh.
That was the way to go.
All right. And then let's see. We got one more here. We'll ask this one here from our good friend Ben Waite. We were told that Alabama's
Knight
program was,
Rider.
huh? Oh,
What is
yeah.
his name? Night Warrior.
The Night Warrior, the shooter. We were told that the Alabama football program was dead and buried after the loss to Florida State. This particularly came from one fan base and school. That school just fired their coach, and Alabama has not lost since. What do you make of that turn of events? It is funny. Matt Moscona, our friend, did Chief Matt Ciola. And rode on a horse and dressed like a Seminole warrior, and now his coach has been fired. It is kind of funny.
I mean, we were kind of on board too. We thought that
Oh
Bama
yeah,
was done.
we
I mean,
did.
credit to Kellen DeBoer. He's gotten it figured out. I think Ty Simpson's a big part of it.
Yeah. And then that's enough. That's enough for one day. All right. Tomorrow, plenty of talk. I've got an interview set up for tomorrow with Jackson Fuller of the Southwest Times Record. We'll preview Mississippi State, Arkansas. And as we promised last week, Isaac Trotter of 24/7 Sports is going to join us. Big college basketball guy. Let's talk some hoops on tomorrow's edition of Thunder and Lightning. We'll see you then. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk, Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.